To take your Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. We going through this precious book, verse by verse, and now we've come to the 16th chapter. I want to tell you just a little something. I had prepared this message, these first six verses that I read a moment ago concerning Sarai telling Abram, because of her barrenness, she wanted to give her handmaid Hagar to Abram, that a son, a seed, might be born into their family. And having prepared that message, after I prepared it, I came to the church this morning and felt impressed to preach, Lord willing, preach the message that I prepared for tonight, preach it Sunday morning. But I've prepared another message pertaining to this passage, and a passage that I'm about to read in Genesis chapter 21. Concerning this situation that we just read. Now, we read concerning Sarai giving Hagar to Abram. He took her to wife, and she conceived, and whenever she conceived, Hagar despised Sarai. And we'll deal with that, Lord willing. I'll deal with that part, Lord willing. But it was the issue of her conception, being with child. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to chapter 21 of Genesis, and I'd like to read the first 11 verses, and then afterwards, we'll get into the message for the evening. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast in the day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now, tonight I want us to look, Lord willing, as I said, I'll look at those first six verses, Lord willing, this Sunday morning, and we'll deal with them in their verse-by-verse order. But tonight I want us to look at the trial of Abram, and may the Lord instruct us according to the Lord's glory and for our good. And I want us to consider the particulars of this two passages that we've read, but I want us to look at something that had the Spirit of God never revealed to us the meaning of those two passages, Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, and Genesis 21, verses 1 to 11. Had the Spirit of God never told us and explained to us what was actually happening, our hearts would have never entered in to the depth of what we just read. I want us to realize that we're going to read out of Galatians 4 in just a minute concerning these passages, and it sets forth two covenants. A covenant of works and a covenant of grace. A covenant that is established by a man trying to obey God by his own works and deeds, which is only bondage, and a covenant that declares total and absolute liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. A covenant of grace. I want you now to take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to stay here for a few minutes, probably the rest of the service. And I just want us to look and see what the Lord has to say about this passage of Scripture that we've read. Now, what's been set forth in these passages is what's called an allegory. And it's explained. An allegory is a story, a true event. A true event that explains or sets forth a spiritual meaning. And it's about these covenants that we read about. Covenant. And a covenant is an agreement between at least two or more parties with all of the stipulations placed in the covenant. The covenant based upon the fulfillment of both parties' parts to do what they say that they're going to do to fulfill the promise. That's a covenant. Now, Galatians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin in verse 21. Here's what we really read. We just read a story, two passages of Scripture. One of them was about a woman that was barren. Her name was Sarai. She was barren. And God had given Abraham a promise. Said, I'm going to give you seed, and your seed's going to be a blessing to all the nations. Look up the stars, it's going to be, if you can number the stars, that's how many is going to be the number of your seed. If you can number them, that's how many you're going to have. And you're going to have this promise. I'm telling you it's going to be. And Sarai, they talked. Sure, and she's explaining something to Abram. She said, I'm barren. I'm barren. And being barren, I don't perceive how we're going to have a nation, a seed. Now, I do have this handmaid. I do have her. He's an Egyptian. And I would tell you that I'm willing to give her to you for wife. He took her for wife. He married her. And the scripture says 10 years went by. He was in Canaan. And he hearkened. He listened. It wasn't like it just probably happened overnight, but he mulled it around a long time. And he did. He took her. He took Hagar, and she was found to be with child. And as soon as she was with child, there was friction. There was a battle that started going on between Hagar and Sarai, because Hagar's got the child. And Sarah, thinking in her mind, this is how the seed that God has promised is going to come about. This is the way it's going to be done. I'll give my handmaid to Abram, and he'll have a seed through her, which will actually be my child, Sarai's saying, because she's my handmaid, to be my child. And that's the way we'll do it. That's the way it'll be done. Well, then we read over in Genesis 21 that God made good on his promise, like he always does. And he gave Sarah a child. A child according to promise. And as soon as Isaac was weaned, and she saw Ishmael mocking him, She told Abraham, she said, I'm not going to have this. This was going to be cast out. So there's where we are. Sarah and Abram's attempt to have a child by handmaid, and God ended up giving her a promise. Now, knowing that, Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 21, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Galatia, and he says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? Now, he said, you that seek to be justified by the works of the law and seek acceptance with God by your own ability, your own cunning, your own will, your own mind, do you not hear what the law says? Do you not see that the law never compromises when it comes to peace or pardon with God, but rather declares all men guilty because of our inability to hear it? You that are saying, and it's like this today, everyone that's saying, now I want to get saved. Or people will ask somebody, how many people here wants to get saved tonight? Raise your hand if you want to get saved. And this is pretty common language in a lot of circles, believe me. And of course there'll be some that'll, you know, raise their hand, you know, as opposed to going to hell. I mean, if you have a choice, wants to get saved, they'll raise their hand. And okay, well, if you want to get saved, all you have to do is, you know, if you want to, come down to the front after service or come down while we're singing. I'll lead you in a prayer, and this is all you have to do. And they'll tell them, give them a few little rules and regulations, and then they'll explain to them that they're saved, that's all there was to it. And it's something that they did. That's the works of the law, something that you do in order to be saved. And Paul says, you that desire to be under the law, you're wanting to be under the law, do you hear what the law says? I want you to take your Bibles, look at Romans 3, 19 to 20. Romans 3, 19 to 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. This is the purpose of the law. The law was never given for obedience unto salvation. The law was given to, number one, show the perfection of God and his holiness. Number two, our inability to keep it. There's nothing wrong with the law. We talk about the law sometimes as if it's bad. It's not bad. The law is good, holy. The law is good. As I've said before, what part of love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with loving your neighbor as yourself? What's wrong with do not kill? What's wrong with do not steal? There's nothing wrong with it. It's right. It's right. Here's the problem. We can't do it because of the weakness of our flesh. But everybody, as a general rule, and their brother, as they say, that is found in these assemblies, is telling people this is all you have to do in order to be saved. There's only two messages. Either salvation by works, which they don't, they say that it's not works, and it is. Or it's salvation by grace. So you that desire to be under the law, do you hear what the law says? It says it back in Galatians 4, 22, 23. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. We just read that. We read that in in Genesis 16, Genesis 22. It was going to be two kids, two boys. One of them was won totally by the works of the flesh. I mean, by natural generation. Sarai said to Abram, look, I'm barren, and so to make good on God's word that you would have an heir, take my handmaid, and we'll have a son, we'll have a seed with her, and therefore God's word will come to pass. That's the way we'll do it. Here's what Paul wrote, as it's written. Abraham had two sons, one by bondmaid, the other by free. He who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, after the will of man, after man's ability, man thinking that he can do something for God. But he of the free woman was by promise. That's by grace. So he said, Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. One born by Hagar, another born by Abram's wife, Sarah, and the son born of the servant Hagar was said to be born of the flesh, of the will, of the works of man. Born by man's thoughts, man's will, man's works. But the son born to Sarah, the free woman, was born according to God's promise. By grace, by his will, by God's power. And then verses 24-25 said, now these things are for an allegory. That historical event that had a much higher spiritual truth. These things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Where it says it answereth, what it means is it gives a good answer. This is a good illustration. I'll explain exactly what it is when it says to Jerusalem, which now is. He said, These two women, Sarah and Hagar, he said, these two women is said to be, these are an allegory. And the thing is, when we read that account, had I just read that account, and I'm sure it would be like this with you, had I read that account, I would have tried to see, you know, the truth in what was going on and the struggles and all that kind of, but I would have never come to the conclusion that the relationship between those two women and Abraham and those two boys was set forth by God to be a picture, an allegory, to preach the difference between attempted salvation by works of man and of the flesh and true salvation by the grace of God. I'd have never gotten that out of it. But this is what the Spirit of God said that this whole situation was about. There, these two women and their two sons represent two Jerusalems. I'll show you in just a minute. There's two Jerusalems and two covenants. Two distinct and never to be reconciled covenants. One is a covenant of works. One is a covenant of grace. One covenant, that covenant represented by Hagar having a son by Abram, was a covenant that was represented by the one made between God and man. It was a good covenant, an honorable covenant. It was the law that was given on Sinai. That's what it just read. We just read, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage. That's when God gave the law. He gave Moses the law. And he wrote it. Wrote those Ten Commandments on tablets of stone with his finger. The finger of God wrote those on Mount Sinai. And he gave them to Moses to give to the people. And he said, this is a covenant, but it was a covenant that gendereth to bondage. Why? Because they couldn't keep it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't. There's the law, and the law doesn't change. The law's good, but I can't do it because of the weakness of my flesh. And so this covenant that was given to on Mount Sinai to Moses, that one that was represented by Hagar. Hagar. That's what that relationship between Hagar and Abraham and Sarai represented. It was that representation of that covenant that was given on Mount Sinai. It was works you do and live. And that was the same covenant illustrated in the garden when God told Adam. He said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." You know what God told him? Obedience is life. Obedience is life. Disobedience is death. That's the covenant that gendereth to bondage. And this is what that relationship with Hagar and Abram was represented with. This is that covenant which a man, because of his dead heart, thinks he can do, or is telling it, and everybody and their brother again is telling people, this is what you have to do to be saved. I'm telling you, do you hear what the law says? You're telling people, do this in order to, you know. What they're saying is, you have within your power, by doing something. You can take something like faith, and you can say, all you have to do is believe. And you're resting in your faith now. Now, faith now has become a work. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when faith becomes a work, and you know what I'm talking about, when faith becomes a work, it's bondage. What men are saying is this: by your own self, by your work, by your will, you can make yourself an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ by your own ability. Now that's a pretty tall order. You can make yourself an heir of God? What? By doing something. No? And by doing something in order to be saved, what you're doing is you're revealing your inability. And you know, and believers do admit to good works. There's no doubt about that. Believers do admit, but these works are evidences of our salvation. They're not the source of it. So again, the allegory concerning Hagar sets forth and declares that a sinner's freedom from the bondage of sin and eternal death is totally their freedom from death is totally according to their ability to keep God's holy and righteous law. That's what they're saying. When you say all you have to do is this, let me say something. All you have to do is do something like this, but there better not be one infraction. It better have never happened before. If it already happened before, too late. If you ever sinned before, whatever you think you just did in order to be saved by this act is not going to work. By the deeds of the law, no man is going to see God. So this covenant, it allows for no deviation. It's got to be absolutely perfect, righteous obedience in word, in thought, in deed. This is the covenant that was given on Mount Sinai. And the scripture says this was the allegory concerning the covenant of works. Whenever Sarah said to Hagar and said to Abram, I want you to take my handmaid and we're going to help God. God said there's going to be heir. We're going to make one. We're going to make one. That's what they were saying. We're going by our own ability. We're going to produce an heir. God said you're going to have it, and he will have it, and you will have it. You see, do you hear what the law says? Do you see the ridiculousness of this? Concerning the law, keeping of the law, James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Now that covenant, according to the scriptures that we just read, it is a covenant that gendereth or produces bondage. Bondage. Always under the bondage and the terror of God's law. I've told you this before, but it just came to my mind again, so I'll mention it again. I can distinctly remember whenever I felt as though, and I was just listening to what I was being told, and I would walk down the aisle, I'd give my hand to the preacher, and the first time I ever came down, I remember I was 9 years old, and I came down because my cousin went down, and I didn't want him getting saved and me not get saved, and so he went down, so I went down, and so we both shook the preacher's hand, and I was baptized, and but soon after, I began to think, you know, I think I just went down because I was going down because Larry went down. And I started feeling guilty about it. And so then I was trying to work up more sincerity. I was trying to really, I want to really, 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 I want to mean it. I want to mean it like I've never meant it. So I went down again, you know. And I, again, but you know what that produces? Bondage. Bondage. Was I ever sincere enough? Did I ever really mean it like I should have? Was I really pleasing to God? That it's bondage. It's always the terror, always trying to keep that faithfulness, but never able to do it. I told you about praying. I want to pray. I want to seek the Lord. I have a desire to seek the Lord. And the first thing I know, I'm thinking about stuff that just doesn't even matter. It's just, I'm thinking, how did I get there? It's just bondage, just trying to. That's because the weakness of, there's nothing wrong with the law. It's me. I'm the problem. I cannot produce myself to be an heir of God, an heir to life eternal because of the weakness of myself. That's the covenant that's represented by Hagar. And it's the covenant, the scripture says, that describes Jerusalem, which is now. That's in verse 25. This Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth. It's a picture. It's a picture. It answereth. It shows what it's like concerning Jerusalem, which is now, meaning the Jews who desired and thought that they could seek and please God by the works, by their works, by sacrifices. That's Jerusalem, which is now. But the scripture says in verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, I know there's another Jerusalem. Not the Jerusalem which is now, which is in bondage, the scripture says, last part of verse 25, with her children. And that's all, that's what the law is. It's bondage. It's trying to keep it. I love the law of God. But again, my problem is me. I can't keep the law. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, the Spirit of God now is going to describe this other covenant. The one with Hagar, that was one that was given on Mount Sinai, the law. But this other describes the covenant of grace, which is according to the promise of God in Christ Jesus. Now that covenant set forth through Sarah, who the scripture says was barren. Remember, that's what it said in verse 16, chapter 16. She was barren. And she couldn't produce an heir according to her own ability. And this covenant is the covenant of promise, based not upon our obedience, but His obedience. What a difference. One covenant which gendereth bondage is a covenant that God gave on Mount Sinai that said, you do this, here's the law. You do this and you live. And I can't. Trying to keep the law, I have no hope. But here's another covenant. A covenant of grace. A covenant of mercy set forth. And this covenant of grace, again, was made not between Jehovah and men born in Adam, as God told Adam, or as God gave the law on Mount Sinai, you give this to the people, here's the law. But this covenant is made between God and God, Jehovah, and His only begotten Son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that covenant that declares, do this, O Christ. Obey me, my Christ. Satisfy me in my broken law, O Christ, in all that you represent, all that I've chosen in you, all for whom you have established righteousness by your perfect obedience to me, that righteousness that is imputed to them, all of that righteousness that is theirs now in you, all that you live for and die for shall live. There's the difference. Here's the allegory. Sarah is a picture of the covenant of grace. How's that? She was barren. What could she do? Nothing. She couldn't produce an heir. She couldn't. Oh, the covenant of works said, you know, do this and take her, and that's flesh, and there's the heir. God said, that's not the heir. That's not the heir. The heir is according to promise. Look at this. Look at verse 27. Amazing passage of Scripture. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Let me just say this. Rejoice, you, that God has shown you that we're barren. And we can't do it. We're without strength. Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate, that's us, that's Sarah, hath more children than she which hath an husband, meaning Hagar that had Abram to be her husband to try to produce an heir. You that are barren, you that are without strength, you that have been made to know your inability to satisfy God, you be glad. Be glad God's taught you something. Be glad that God has shown you something of your inability. Just think, I'm sure when all of this was going on, Abraham and Hagar and Sarah probably had no earthly idea. They were, in their minds, I don't doubt for a second. They were going through a very troublesome time and in their life, and how would they ever have known that the Spirit of God had allowed them to go through that? The Spirit of God would not allow Sarah to have children. Wouldn't allow her to until later in her life. Didn't let her have kids for this reason. To display through these scriptures the glory of God in giving children by promise, by God's power, by God's will, by God's ability. Rejoice. rejoice, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the church by promise. Have many more, the scripture says, a number that no man can number. Verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Doesn't that rejoice your heart? I'm so thankful that God would call me out of the darkness of my sin and unbelief and my ignorance. He didn't leave me where I was. I'm telling you, I reeked of it. Reeked. Proud, arrogant. Oh, we're not. Isaac was promised to Abram. And all of God's sheep were promised and given unto the Lord Jesus Christ in electing grace, conceived and born by the Spirit of God, not according to their ability, but rather by the power of Almighty God. Made to be according to promise, heirs of God, born of God, not by the will of the flesh. Verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Whenever, we read just a while ago, whenever Ishmael, son of the flesh, mocked the son of promise, as Ishmael did to Isaac, as Sarah did to as Hagar did to Sarah, so do those that trust in themselves that they're righteous. They'll mock you. They'll make fun of you. They'll laugh at you. They despise others who rest only in the Lord Jesus Christ for righteousness and salvation with Him totally according to God's covenant to show mercy. They'll mock you. They'll laugh at you. They'll tell you you're nuts. You're not saved. No, you don't. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation by the grace of God. Verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Now we see this truth. We just read this truth. And Lord willing, when we get to chapter 21, we'll take those scriptures and we'll spend. But works and grace, they can't stay together. They're not just like oil and water. They're contrary one to the other. It's either salvation by law and works, or it's salvation by the grace of God. And the bondwoman and her son, just as they were cast out from the presence of Abraham and Sarah, does two things. Number one, a believer comes out from among them. The Lord's pleased to save one of His own, and they're in the midst of a place where the gospel is not being preached. They're out of there. I'm not going to listen to that. But how about the old baggage that we had with ourselves? Paul said, over in Philippians 3, he said, I was Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was circumcised on the right day. He said, I count all that but dung. Cast it out. I have no confidence in the flesh. Cast it out. Verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Brethren, we know because God has given us a heart to believe Him. We believe Him. What's the foundation of our hope in Christ? I believe Him. Abraham believed God. Faith in Christ. Not faith as a work, but faith as the evidence of life. Salvation. Faith that was given. We're the children of God. We're not children of the bondwoman. We're children of the free. And the Lord has given us a good hope in Him who is our hope. He's the promise. He's the assurance of our peace and acceptance with God totally on His imputed righteousness to us. I believe. I believe Him. I believe when He went to the cross, I believe He knew me. He said, I know my sheep. I call them by name. Somebody said, do you think He actually knew Marvin Stoniker? Yes, I do. He said, I know those that are, I know my sheep, I know them. And that gives me great comfort to know when he died for me. He died for me. I pray God bless this to our hearts for his glory and our good. Amen.